Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
My phone's been like a couple minutes off, and I keep forgetting to adjust for that, so I apologize.
Well, at least your clock's a little ahead of Contreras, because he still hasn't called in, and I actually just talked to him a few minutes before we were supposed to go on the air, so I have no idea where the hell his ass is right now.
You've been stammering and stuttering for the last 3 minutes trying to figure out what to say.
No, I've been talking bad about the two of you.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Speaking very coherently, talking bad about the two of you.
Well, nobody else was listening to you, so what the heck?
Yeah, whatever. But, okay, here we go. Let me... What's going on, Katrina?
There's a tear in my beer. Cause I'm crying for you, dear. You are on my lonely mind.
See, that would have been a lot better if you would have been late on the queue.
Shut up.
But anyway,
don't call me anymore because you forget the fucking password then, jackass.
And it starts.
And the obnoxious voicemail that you have. The obnoxious voicemail that you have.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I've had that for, like, fucking 12 years, I guess. But anyway, Craig, I guess anyone who heard the Brian and Vinny show last night knows that you're actually going to a party. So what's going on tonight?
Well, as you heard on the B&V show, Rodney's in town. Got here late last night and heading up to Big Daddy's in Woodinville. Never been there, so... be there with Junior Horseman and Rodney and Granny, and suspicious by his absence is one Vince Verhey.
But you guys are just wrong. You guys, you know, Rodney's a good guy. He's never going to tell no to anyone for any reason, and y'all convinced him to go to Seattle for a fight night, not even a freaking pay-per-view, a fight night. And
what are you talking about? Nobody convinced nothing.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Y'all probably laid it on, gave him a poor guilt trip, like Brandon gives Brian. And
never said a word about it. Never said a word about it. In fact, he's the one that told me that he was coming up. I was like, what? So, yeah, it's cool. I get to hang out with Rodney.
Heads up, that somebody's doing something, he's not involved.
Take me with him, that bastard.
That's kind of what I figured. Because, you know, usually Ed will fly friends to him. And that's really not the way Ed rolls, so.
But anyway, so what's this Big Daddy's place? I mean, because honestly, just by the name of it, it sounds like a gay bar.
I hope not. But if it is, you know, I'll shake my...
What if it is a gay bar? They can go there.
Yeah, I can go there. Hey!
I don't think Craig would show up if it was, though.
I'll just embroider my name on my shirt. It'll say bear.
Just don't speak. Then you'll get a lot of, come on.
I'll walk around going, rar, rar. I'm in a mood tonight.
I guess. I hope so, because we're 1 week away from WrestleMania. So if you're not in a good mood or any kind of mood, you'd be
We're actually a week and 2 days from WrestleMania, but why split hairs? We'll be watching ROH at this time next week, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be
awesome. Have you seen the lineup for that show?
I've seen it as they've announced it, like a match here and a match there, but I haven't seen the whole match right, the whole listing in front of me.
Okay, I will punch it up before we get Prazak on the phone.
Cool.
It's phenomenal. I'm stoked.
Yeah, it should be like every year. It should be the two best shows of the whole weekend.
Yeah, it's right up there. But, the shows are completely sold out. We've got Eddie Edwards versus Christopher Daniels, Kings of Wrestling versus the World's Greatest Tag Team, Strong and Davey Richards, the Briscoes versus Cole and O'Reilly, and that's night one. And night two, we have American Wolves versus the World's Greatest Tag Team, Kings of Wrestling versus Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, Generico versus Roderick Strong, and, Dave Taylor versus Colt Cabana.
Dave Taylor.
It says special attraction, Colt Cabana versus Dave Taylor. That guy's awesome.
Is it Squire Dave Taylor?
It must be. That's awesome.
That should be, and it was... And I wonder if it's going to be for the NWA World Heavyweight title, too.
he could do that, yeah.
Aren't there supposed to be, like, some women from Japan on the show also?
Yeah. There's from S Ovation Japan, and there's a bunch of names that I can't pronounce. I apologize to any of our, that girl and that chick and that other... chick. Anyway, yeah, that's they're gonna do I think six persons that weekend.
Well, then I wonder who their opponents are gonna be. Have they announced any of the other women, like Sarah Del Rey or Daisy Hayes?
Well, I might be completely wrong, but there's only three ladies.
You said they're working six men.
Well, yeah, but I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pardon. I apologize. Anyway, so back to our thing here. So
we found out on Wednesday night that Craig doesn't know how to act at the border.
How dare you? Dude, that story is so old that I literally had forgotten it.
You told it about in the past year.
Need a Rover late slip on that one, huh?
Apparently. I think he told the story like 2 months ago or something, and then he told it again, and it's like, okay, we haven't heard about this for like 11 years, and then you bring it up twice in the span of, you know, 8 weeks.
Well, let me tell you how brain damaged the man is. He keeps talking about how he loves the Luxor and that he loves staying at the Luxor. The motherfucker has never stayed at the Luxor. He's either stayed at Excalibur or New York or MGM. He has never, ever stayed at the Luxor.
That's my Brian. Yeah. This guy would forget his name if his underwear weren't logoed with his own name. Yeah. He's... actually, that's not true, because he's a megalomaniac.
I found it funny that he would think that they would actually do Eve versus Michael Cole for the Divas title and have Michael Cole win and have the Divas title on the line in his match with Jerry Lawler. What a stupid idea.
That's actually one of the few good ideas he's ever had. What are you talking about?
Eve, they've been doing a thing with Eve so she can get involved in the Lawler-Cole match and not having a friggin' match for the Divas title or no bullshit.
Have to for the title, but they could have Cole kick her ass on Monday.
You know, it does make sense because Lawler's been slaying Divas for years.
Yeah.
But I'm playing them for FPW.
Sir, why don't you go ahead and try and call Lester?
Okay, this would be.
I thought we were going to call Dave first, guys.
Well, actually, yes.
Quick show meeting.
Yes, but first. But I can go ahead and call Dave first. I just got to find out.
Yeah,
and
by the way.
Call him, so.
Well, by the way,
what?
I got to get out of here at like 7 o'clock because I got to, go to friggin' Woodinville. But
that's fine. We have time.
And I'm just telling you, if I'm not mysteriously here, then you know where I'm at. Capiche?
Was he making the call, or did he put his... I don't know what's going on.
He's taking a bong rip.
I had to learn how to do three-way this week, so I could call that Thatcher.
Sweet. I mean, what?
That does sound bad, doesn't it?
There's worse people you could be in a three-way with.
Yeah.
I can't think off the top of my head, but you know.
Hold on, I've got to crack open another beer here.
Yeah, what's the deal? You're drinking early tonight. Well, earlier.
I've been drinking the last 2 weeks on the show. I just haven't expressed it like I did on the New Year's show.
I've expressed it. Okay.
I went back to drinking beer. That hard stuff ain't good for me.
That's what I hear. That's what
they
I hear.
They bought me the cheapest case of beer I could find. Milwaukee's Best Light.
Hey, do they have Four Loko in your stores out there?
Is that a type of beer or something?
It's basically a malt liquor energy drink.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's got like tons and tons of caffeine in it. And we had some college students get blackout drunk up here in the summertime.
Craig, go ahead and introduce our guest.
I will do just that. If Dean Malenko is the man of 1,000 holds, our next guest would be the man of 1,000 hairstyles. Please welcome to the man behind Shimmer and also the voice of Ring of Honor, Dave Prazak.
Okay, I guess that's fair. I don't plan on bleaching my hair blonde ever again, though, so at least that one will never return. It just fried my hair, and it's killed. And, like, right now I'm trying to grow it out and have it darker, and, like, the ends won't even change color, so I look like a goddamn idiot. But how are you guys doing this fine evening?
We're doing well, Dave. How are you?
Good. I'm standing outside of a fine Chili's establishment in Chicago Ridge, Illinois, waiting for 25 female wrestlers to be seated because they're very hungry and they're ready to raffle tomorrow for sure.
Wow, what an entourage that must be.
Yeah, well, we should have called ahead. I'm learning that the hard way. But, yeah.
At least
everybody made it in. Like we've got over 30 workers booked on the show, and out of that 30 is probably a good 26 or 27 are fly-ins, and couple of them international flights. And everybody fucking made it in. Nobody missed their flight. There were no delays. All the international people, got through customs and everything perfectly fine. And it's a miracle. But we're gonna have hopefully some good shows this weekend.
Cool. So, how many DVDs do you plan on filming the next couple of days?
We're going to film two each day. two full DVDs per day, and then, like, we do an intermission in between. So it's basically the people that buy tickets and are there live are sitting there for 7 hours each day, which
wow.
can be very tedious. But I think the people that come to see these shows, they've been, a lot of them have been here in the past, so they, like, mentally prepare themselves, so, like, okay, I'm going to be sitting in an Eagles club for 7 hours watching women's wrestling. But at least there are dollar beers at the bar, so that sort of helps things a little bit.
Now, who's all there? You said there's about 30 workers. Who's there?
Yeah,
then?
Like Serena Deeb, cheerleader Melissa, Mercedes Martinez, Ayaka Hamada, Ayumi Curry, the young Japanese girls who are going to be on the ROH shows in Atlanta came in. They're going to just stay the week. You know, the whole usual Shimmer crew, Sarah Del Rey, Daisy Hayes, lots of people. Christina Von Erie makes her debut. So, be some fun.
We were just talking about the girls from Esovation and from Japan, and what are they working? There's only three girls listed. Are they working on a three-way? Are they working six ladies tag?
It's gonna wind up being tag matches. With I believe Del Rey's been announced already. It'll be tag matches, but I don't think I don't know if it's been announced yet. So I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
But yeah, they'll be on the show both days, so it should be a good display of what Ayumi Kurihara is really capable of for the ROH audience. And you know, WrestleMania weekend, you know, more people are gonna actually get to see live ROH that weekend, like a more diverse crowd anyway, coming from all different parts of the world to see WrestleMania and, you know, going to center stage for ROH stuff. So it's a good opportunity for, if they have a really good match, to really make an impression on people for the future.
Can you tell us a little bit about Esovation? I am totally unfamiliar with it.
It's like a booking office. They were the ones that promoted events under the name Ibuki in Japan several years ago. Like 6 years ago, which was Mariko Yoshida's student, essentially. And when Ibuki folded, like they worked for pretty much all of the current active Joshi promotions in Japan, like Oz Academy, and they worked for Neo right before they closed down, and they worked for Pro Wrestling Wave. It's like, it's essentially a bunch of independent, you know, like right now, the women's wrestling boom in Japan was like, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, and it's really cooled down right now, but of the current generation stars, like between the ages of 23 and 26, these are like three of the brightest prospects, I guess you could say. And Kurihara is just amazing. So people are going to remember them after those kind of stage shows.
Very cool.
Now, speaking of the Japanese women, I know Chikara's brought in Toyota, and they're going to bring her in again. Have you ever tried to bring in Toyota for any of the Shimmer tapings?
I tried to coordinate with Quack when he brought her in for Chikara, like. It was like September of last year when she first came in and worked at Show in New York. He actually was like, "You want to split the flight and bring her in for Shimmer the week before or whatever?" And I was like, "Yes, I actually do." And I booked my date for the week before his. And then, as it turned out, a couple of weeks later, she was like unavailable to come in early enough to also do Shimmer. So she only did Chikara. So I don't know. I mean, if it winds up being doable in the future that we can coordinate dates and, you know, do it in the same trip, then possibly. But it's good for Chikara that she's, like, a unique attraction for Chikara. If you want to see Manami Sarada live in the United States, you have to go to the Chikara show or get the Chikara DVD. So.
How stoked are you to be working at Center Stage?
Dude, that's gonna be awesome! Like that building has so much wrestling history, you know. Every Saturday night watching PBS and seeing that building, it's gonna be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it and doing two consecutive days of live internet pay per view. So you know, if everybody really steps up their game and has some killer shows, you know, we could have some good buzz instead of WrestleMania that weekend.
We were just looking over the card, and the card looks really, really strong on both nights. I'm really excited for the events this next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be good times. And now that Eddie Edwards won the ROH World title, it shakes things up a little bit, makes the matches a little bit more interesting. And, you know, the history between Dolph and Christopher Daniels heading into that weekend. You know, it's a good time for ROH. You know, even though we just lost HDNet and everything, you know, people are talking positively about the company, it seems to me anyway. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that weekend. I'm also looking forward to Shimmer Weekend being over with and everybody being on their flights home so I can actually sleep at the end of the weekend.
Now, you've actually, this is probably the first Mania weekend that you've actually gone, because I don't think you went to Houston or Arizona, so I guess you're pretty excited about to finally be able to be at the show live.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, obviously, they only really need me at the live ROH event if we're doing some sort of live commentary, and that was before we started doing the internet pay-per-view, so, yeah, I mean, it's always fun, and you guys know, because we make the trip. It's always fun to be in the city that WrestleMania is happening, and you know, just seeing so many wrestling fans in one area, going to see shows from different promotions. You know, it's a very unique experience.
The show is coming to an end, or it's come to an end. How heartbroken are you that you're not going to work with Hodgewood anymore?
I wish that Hodgewood had done more preparation for instead of tapings. I'll leave it at that. I mean, he brought something really unique to the table. He had that enthusiasm that people say that I don't have, and like genuine reactions to things and being really pissed off on a heel does something to somebody that he likes. Like, oh, that guy, how could he do that to Colt Cabana? So that was a refreshing change to what everyone's used to in current commentary, but. The problem is, like, between recording sessions, you wouldn't watch any wrestling, wouldn't stay up to date on what's happening on the ROH shows between the tapings, would forget about angles that happened because he hasn't been watching wrestling for 8 weeks. And it was a difficult process at times, but, you know, between Hogg and LaDonna and I, we worked in Denver for a couple of days every other month to produce those TV shows. But I don't know. I mean, who knows if Mike Hodgett will ever call pro wrestling again? We'll see. But
I hope so.
I don't know if he was all in. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a payday, I think.
now, how
are you gonna?
I
was gonna ask, are you gonna stick around for WrestleMania this year, or are you gonna get on the flight as soon as the shows are over?
I'm on a flight leaving the morning of WrestleMania. Yeah, I don't
you
know.
And LaGana both.
I went to whenever it was in Detroit several years ago. It was like there was a ring as usual. We had Ring of Honor the night before. WrestleMania or whatever, and so I was in town and made the drive from Chicago with Cabana, and that was the weekend, like, he got evaluated at the WrestleMania hotel by WWE officials. They had a ring set up for people to practice their matches at the hotel, and he had a little tryout match, and that was when Johnny Ace, like, at the bar was like, all right, we'll give you a developmental. And so he got signed that day, and since we were in town, he was like, it would be a good idea if Cabana was there to shake everybody's hands at WrestleMania. So that was like the first WrestleMania that I've been to since they were in Chicago, whatever that was, like 13 or 14, whatever the fuck that was. And you know, they had 70,000 people or whatever in Detroit that year. So it's always really cool to be in that huge stadium atmosphere, but. I'm after Shimmer and then just a couple of days rest and then two consecutive days of live commentary where I tend to speak louder than I usually do on tape commentary, my voice will be gone and I will want to go home and sleep and then maybe watch WrestleMania the next day or something.
Fair enough.
Dave, I've been wanting to ask you, whose idea is it for all the like F4W Wrestling Observer shout-outs that you guys throw out during the commentary on some of the
I mean, a little me and a little Lagana, I guess. Like, we both listen to all the podcasts and everything, and you know, I've known Brian. I mean, I've only met Brian like once or twice, when like when he did those Fight Sports Midwest shows with Larry Flynn. You know, I've corresponded with Brian over the years, and you know, so it's always good to stay in touch with the newsletter writers and everything. I've read the Observer since 1990. So it's a nice little thing. Like we were sitting there and saw the gold boat. It was like in a prop room at HGNet Studios, and like you see a toy gold boat, the first thing that comes to mind if you listen to those podcasts is for the fucking gold boat rant. So you have to do it. And like if we were gonna put that little segment on either YouTube or I think they put it on like a year in the week episode two or whatever. If we're gonna go to the trouble of introducing the gold boat actually on a show, we might as well have the fucking Tilde Bang flag on the back of the boat, too. Might as well go the whole way with it.
You know, I told Dave Lagana that you guys on the last episode should have the gold boat sailing off into the sunset as the show fades to black.
Or the gold boat sinking.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea either.
Gold boat sinking, and then hopefully another network like comes to us with life preservers. And we're like, wait, we're waving the Tilde Bang flag. Oh, please, save us.
That's good.
Oh, it'll be fun.
And from the one of the last pay-per-views, it also came out that you're a big fan of the DC Snipers Twitter.
Yeah, like during intermission, we went back in the locker room, and I just like was doing. I searched whatever the hashtag was that day for that show, and DC Sniper had something, and like it popped like five or six of the guys in the locker room. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna when we get back on the air here, I'm gonna read the fucking tweet. So, whatever, DC Sniper's hilarious. All that, his Twitter is gold. I think Morgana will agree with that.
You know, he's turned babyface on the board.
Oh, well, sometimes you need a change, right?
Yeah.
Gotta turn baby once in a while.
And now, they've had some pretty loaded cards for next week. What are you looking forward to most of all to call or to do over the weekend?
I mean, because of my attachment to the Shimmer brand and to the women's division of ROH, obviously the opportunity for Sarah and the Japanese girls and everybody to really make an impression. I mean, the last show that we did on iPay-Per-View was what Nick Chip and Sarah Del Rey, and that was a very short match. That wasn't a true representation of what either of them were capable of, but you know, because of time constraints and everything, they just, that's all they had. But, you know, this the Atlanta shows, the women's division, the Women of Honor, are going to really get a chance to show the iPay-Per-View world and the center stage crowd what they can do. You know, we need some quality women's wrestling on a higher profile show right now in the United States, and this is a good chance for them.
David, you told us we could only keep you for about 10-15 minutes. If your table's ready, just let us know.
I just looked in the window and I see Athena from the great state of Texas standing there. She was trained by Shandar Akwa, and she was still standing there waiting for a table. So,
okay, well, let us know because we don't want to keep you from getting your mozzarella sticks or whatever. So,
don't worry about that. Lots of alcohol. That is what fuels me through these summer weekends. The only way I can get through 7 hours of running shows with all these broads.
How do you do that? I mean, you're basically in charge of 30 women. I mean, it must be a hard job.
I've got help. Like Allison Danger helps run the locker room, and Lexi Fife is an agent, and she helps out, and Portia Price actually does a lot to help in the locker room too. So I've got assistance along the way, but it is a big headache putting, you know, a weekend together where they're all here for 3 days and we have to arrange transportation to and from the hotel and the venue and the after party back to the hotel, make sure they all get their flights, and in the process also trying to get the shows together and relay everybody all the things they need to know and film all the promos, and it's a giant headache, but luckily, I only have to do this like 3 times a year in order to get, you know, 12 DVDs per year filmed. So, no, I would never do this on a regular basis.
No, do they get along, or do they get a little catty back there?
We're very picky about who we add to the locker room. Like, their attitude has as much to do with it as their wrestling ability does. Like, if somebody is going to be a locker room cancer, not the cancer, but a locker room cancer, we just won't bring them in. You know, if they have a bad reputation, if they always do trouble, or if they're on terrible terms with other girls, and we just won't book them. You know, we've been very lucky to select people that really get along. They have a good time while they're here, and everybody has the same goal of putting on the best show possible. So.
So we've Tiffany's heard, not going to be coming in anytime soon.
What was that?
So Tiffany's not going to be coming in anytime soon, right?
No, she's not. A couple of the WWE girls have shown up to hang out, like in the locker room and watch the monitor and stuff from time to time. So they're curious, like if they're in town or WWE has a show the next day or something. So.
Are they blown away by
these? If you look at some of the moves that Melina tries and fails miserably at some of the time, if she has a 4-minute match or 3-minute match on television and does like 3 or 4 cool things, it's like Mischief Daisy Hay said, all right. It's like all of her arsenal she has taken from watching these DVDs, and it's blatantly obvious. Everybody's finish is like a transitional move.
How dare you say anything bad about Melina?
Oh, God.
I've never even met her. I'm just saying, like, damn, you don't put stuff on your own.
Don't worry about it. Eddie's got a crush on her, that's all. You mentioned DVDs. There was kind of, some rumblings that the DVD market was going down. And how are the sales of Shimmer DVDs and ROH DVDs nowadays?
I mean, I would say probably like 6 to 8 months ago, I would agree that the DVD market was cooling off and that they weren't moving in the same numbers. I mean, nothing's moving on DVD in the same numbers they were in like 2006 when, like, right around the time of, the CZW feud and Joe versus Kobashi and all that stuff. That was like at the peak of wrestling on DVD as a way of generating revenue. Right now, with so many torrent sites and just like people downloading stuff, it's like if you are at all computer savvy, you know how to steal the shit without having to buy it. So, a lot of people just they don't have a lot of money in this economy and they don't spend it on wrestling DVDs, but they still want to see the shows and they go about it that way. But from what I've been told, I don't know all the Ring of Honor numbers, but from what I've been told, there's cops. I'm in a bad part of town. From what I've been told lately, the internet pay-per-views for ROH, even the ones that, like Final Battle, I think was the largest number of buys on the iPay-per-view. But in addition to that, it also sells more copies on DVD than the other shows do. So it's enough people are both buying DVDs and the iPay-per-view right now that it's just extra money. So it's and Shimmer's picked up as of late a little bit more. I don't know if people are starting to get more money or if we're just doing some more interesting things right now or what, but I'd say it's improved over the past 8 or so months from where it was.
I want to ask you about something you just brought up. You just mentioned how the iPay-per-views are the top-selling DVDs. So I kind of question as to why they would have Eddie Edwards win the title at basically a DVD taping instead of putting it on the iPay-per-view where it would even get more of a buzz and maybe even get more buys than it would even normally do than
the
theater.
The question is that being on an IA pay-per-view, people that want to see the title change want to see that show, now their only option is to buy the DVD. And, who knows, in reality, what percentage of the people that did buy the IA pay-per-view are also the same customers that are buying the DVD copy. It might not be that much of a crossover, maybe it is, but in the very least, it makes things unpredictable. Like, people know that big things can happen on ROH shows that aren't iPay-per-views. You can have a world title change on a house show. And so it makes the house shows more interesting. You know, it's like, well, maybe we should go to this live event because anything can happen at one of these little shows. Not that the Manhattan Center is a little show, but, you know, at a non-iPay-per-view, ROH is willing to do some noteworthy things.
Do you see Shimmer actually doing an iPay-per-view at any time?
I've talked with Bill Fight Live about it. And to their credit, like, the ninth anniversary show from Chicago Ridge was probably their most technical error-free show thus far for ROH. Like,
right.
I was really happy with just looking at the final product, like the audio mix, the commentary mix with the crowd audio. It sounded better than any of the previous shows that might not have been mixed as well. And from what I heard, like, there was very few instances of the stream going out or anything like that. So the technology, at least they're getting, like, what mistakes might have been made a year and a half ago, they learned from the mistakes and they corrected it. So even though the technology is improving, I just don't know if I want to do that for Shimmer because, I don't know. Like, as I said, we do these seven-hour marathon tapings, so it's like, do we offer the first half of the show as an iPay-per-view, and then, like, you have to buy the DVD to see the rest, and since we do two consecutive days, do we offer, like, volume 37 as an iPay-per-view, 38, you have to buy the DVD, and then the next day, 39, you're going to see an iPay-per-view again, but you missed the show in between, like, or do we do all four? It's just like, there's too many questions involved, and as far as the commentary on the Shimmer shows go, it's me and Portia Perez, and I'm really happy with, like, she's an awesome little heel color commentator on those DVDs. And I want to keep her as the commentator with me, and there's no fucking way that we would sit there for 7 hours each day and do live commentary. Like, we have to do that in post-production because, I mean, we're helping run the show as it's going on. So, so like, all those things in combination equals I haven't decided to do iPay-per-view yet, but I won't rule it out for the future, but there are many reasons why I haven't tried it yet.
Now, a lot of the girls were working Wrestlelicious. What's the status of Wrestlelicious? Are they still taping or are they still alive?
The promoter of that actually contacted me like 3 months ago about splitting some matches this weekend for him to film some stuff like Monday and Tuesday in Chicago, and it didn't work out with everybody's schedules and everything. So I guess they have plans to shoot some more, but I haven't. Some of the girls have said that they've been booked on any shows to film more episodes. So I don't know. I'm not too privy to the inner workings of Wrestlelicious, but. I guess if they can get everything together to film the next set of episodes, I think they still are in the good graces of like Mav TV or whatever they're on. So good for them if they can make it work.
What did you think of their?
If nothing else, it's a payday for the girls. So.
What did you think of their product?
I've never watched a Wrestlelicious show, and
that
reason is because if I did. I know that I would probably get really frustrated at, like, I don't know. Because, like, a good 75% of the girls on that show are Shimmer girls doing, like, the ridiculous gimmicks that Wrestlelicious wants them to do. So I would probably just be really aggravated. It's kind of like, I saw somebody post about some Ian Rotten interview on, like, a Blog Talk Radio show. Somebody did where Casey Bailey's father called in and Mickey Knuckles called in and gave him a bunch of shit. And I'm like, everybody's like, did you hear that? I'm like, no, I really don't want to listen to that because probably if I did, I would get really depressed because whatever. Take pleasure in other people, you know, ripping them to shreds. Deserved or not, like, I don't know. I have no motivation to make myself feel bad for a few hours by watching a product that's going to frustrate me or listening to something like that.
Yeah, they pretty much had all the Shimmer girls losing the models in pretty much every match. There was one show, though, where they let Daisy Hayes and it was a redheaded girl. She might be a Shimmer girl. I don't know what her Shimmer name would be.
I think it was, I don't know what her name was on the show. I don't use her, but she's He's from like Arizona or something like that, I think.
They actually gave him like a 15-20 minute match. They actually had a pretty
decent match. I think her work name on the indies is Erica DiErico, I think. Like from what everybody told me, compared to GLOW in the 80s, like, Wrestlicious, even though it had the same bad comedy sketches and the same ridiculous gimmicks, it had more actual, like, workers booked for it to be able to have some passable matches. Whereas, like, GLOW back in the day, it was like, Ivory was the only real worker on the show, I think. Everybody else, they trained them, like, the fundamental bumps, and that was it. If nothing else, the current incarnation of that style of women's wrestling show had more actual capable wrestlers on it.
Just watch the opening rap. That's all you need to know about that show.
Oh, yeah. I never want to hear that theme song ever again. once you hear that, it's stuck in your head for like 3 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm like, Wrestlicious. Have you ever had any plans to bring in Lacey Von Erich?
No, absolutely not. although if you want to wrestle her, there's that Point of View video that somebody did of her wrestling a camera or some shit. Horrible! With a capital W.
Well, what else you got going on besides the Shimmer and next week at Mania Weekend? Are you doing anything else?
There's a promotion that runs the same venue that I do the Shimmer shows at every month, and I always do those shows. I'm the manager on those. It's called AAW. Danny Daniels, who was like a heel referee in ECW for a little while, and was part of like 2004-ish. ROH is like one of the new Carnage crew. He runs those shows. And, it's a packed little Eagles club with dollar beers, so rowdy crowd. And, you know, he uses Jimmy Jacobs and Silas Young, who's been doing some Dragon Gate stuff. And, he's got a good little crew of wrestlers. Eric Cannon does. I manage Eric Cannon on those shows. Irish Airborne are on those shows. He brought in Raven. He's actually running a show in Chicago in a month, in May, 2 months from now. And he's got Scott Hall and Dennis Rodman booked for the show. I'm like, you got Dennis Rodman in Chicago for an indie show? I'm like, I don't even want to know what that fucking costs. But at least the show's it'll draw a huge crowd if they get the word out that Dennis Rodman's on the show. So I don't think he's going to wrestle, but he'll do something.
Hide your women and hide your booze.
Yeah.
Well, at least he won't fall asleep on the turnbuckle again if he's not wrestling.
Yeah.
Craig, why don't you go ahead and start to wrap it up?
Okay, check out Shimmer this
wrap
weekend.
It up, Craig.
At the...
Come on, you got to end this shit. I think
the Berwyn
East. They haven't seen it by now. Come on, speed it up, Craig.
Shimmer at the Berwyn Eagles Club in Berwyn, Illinois, just outside of Chicago on Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, check out Honor Take Center Stage next weekend, April 1st and 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. Also, check it out at GoFightLive.tv. You can get a great special, 2-for-1. April 1st and April 2nd, you get both shows for $19.99. What a deal.
Yeah, it's going to be two awesome shows for essentially $10 each. And, Kevin Kelly and I will be handling the broadcast, and I will be broadcasting the broad, including Ayumi Kurihara, next weekend on Go Fight Live. All right, well, I'm going to go eat. I'm going to partake of some beverages with the Esovation office officials, and then pull my hair out, trying to rebook the shows as necessary at the hotel. And, you guys have a fine rest of a Friday evening on Over the Top Radio.
You too, Dave. Have a good one.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.
Honor Take Center Stage. I just got that. Double meaning.
And why don't you call Les Couture and make sure you apologize and make sure you tell him it's Boss Craig's fault.
Oh, you want him to yell at me? Okay. I get you. That's going to be repercussions. Hold on.
I'm going to introduce him and then bone out so you guys can take the heat from Mr. Thatcher.
Okay. I guess guitar's calling. I was like, man, you know what? No, I guess I could have followed that after all.
Dave's so amazing. He's one of the guys you can interview and not ever ask him a question.
Pretty much, you know. I'm glad we got a little more time with him.
Yeah.
And when I called, he was inside the restaurant and it was like loud. I was like, oh, dude, he's probably just not going to be able to do it. But that was actually pretty cool. So that worked out.
Yeah, Dave's a really good dude.
Yeah, I can't wait for next week. That's going to be so awesome.
Oh, I'm so stoked for the Ring of Honor shows. I mean, they're really taking nothing away from WrestleMania. They are the highlight of the weekend. Those shows are phenomenal. They always are.
And if you, I don't know if you're following the thread.
Go ahead and do your intro.
Our next guest has been involved in professional wrestling since the early 60s. Not only was he a wrestler, but he also went on to train some of the best workers in the business today. From Wrestling Weekly and Elite Pro Wrestling Training, please welcome to the show, Les Thatcher.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Les, I want to apologize that we called a little late. It was there was just a mix-up on the timing of our guests. It's all Craig's fault.
You're a hell of an executive, Ed, is all I can say.
Well, I had to call him. You should have heard the foul things he said to me when the call was late.
Uh-oh.
Executive finger pointer.
All right.
Now, Les, the reason I wanted to get you on is because it's basically this is the most exciting time of the year, basically every year for pro wrestling. We're a week away from WrestleMania, and I wanted to get you to come on and talk about WrestleMania. So, are you excited this year, or how are you? What's your excitement level compared to other years?
Well, you know, up until just a few weeks ago, I wasn't. No, as a matter of fact, I'd said several times in different places that. I said, wow, you know, I'm not really caring if I see WrestleMania this year or not. But things started to pick up, you know, especially with the Helmsley-Taker deal, Rock. Austin will be, in the house, the thing with Lawler. That's, you know, all that stuff is really what's turned it up for me. So now I'm very much interested. The Hall of Fame thing, Bob Armstrong is a very close friend, and I think that's exciting for him. And Sonny, I've known since before she started in the business, actually. And I really got a lot more interest now. But like I say, a few weeks back, not so much.
Yeah, it's like it was kind of like it seemed like, you know, last year there was a lot of hype, and then like, you know, during the few months before, there wasn't too much going on. And then there was a little buzz when they had that thing with The Undertaker with Brock. But then when that looked like it wasn't going to happen, you know, no one really was excited at all. And then luckily they got The Rock and even Austin. So, I mean, I'm very stoked. I'm very excited. So, I mean, I can't wait for WrestleMania.
You know, I think the bad thing about it all, I say bad or negative or whatever, the thing of it is, it's the old guys are the ones that have put the spark into this thing.
Yeah.
And the bad part about that, it shows the lack of that same talent that the younger guys got. And in part, that's not necessarily their fault. You know, it's the fact they're micromanaged and put into a box, you know, and they're given a character. They're not allowed to actually develop themselves. There may be another Steve Austin. There may be another Rock there, but you don't know until somebody cuts them loose and lets them go on their own. And there may be nothing, but you'll never find out if you don't give them the shot. But you can't develop that type of talent if you have it unless you're allowed to utilize it, you know. I mean, nobody had ever known Rock had the kind of timing he does, you know, if he'd never been allowed to try.
What do you think of the resurgence of Jerry Lawler's career, you know, being an old-school guy like you? I'm sure you've been enjoying that.
Oh, yeah. You know, again, with Jerry, you know, he's got some years on him. The thing he's not slowed down is between the ears. You know, he understands the timing and his facials and everything to do, you know. And that's the deal. You know, a few years ago when Steamboat had his 5 minutes in the tag match at Mania with Jericho, he took guys to school, and it's simply just a matter of you know, developing the body language and facial expressions and things like that. Lawler's got the same thing. Jerry's always been good at that, very good at that. And that's something necessarily, you know, as long as you're not bedridden or something, you know, that you, you know, your mind, as long as your mind's working, you understand that. If you stop and think back with Steamboat again, what was his biggest thing off the top rope was the crossbody.
Yeah.
You know, but he, you know, hadn't been in the ring in a long time, and yet he came back, and it was all in his timing and facials and body language and the little intricate things that make the big things work. It's what Lawler has, too. Well, actually, it's what Austin and Rock and Helmsley and take, you know, what Helmsley said, and maybe, you know, I'm not going to dispute whether he should have or not, should have said it or not said it, but when he mentioned, you know, after Undertaker, there's nothing left in the locker room for me, he's right. I mean, you know, there's guys back there, but they're not working. Regal, Finlay, Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, but they're not working. You know, maybe Edge, Christian, Bryan Danielson, but most, you know, again, I don't lay the blame at the, you know, the individual kids or the individual athletes. It's just a matter of finding out, you know, being given the opportunity to develop that, because that comes with time. You can't buy that. You can't teach that. You can develop it, but it comes with time.
What do you think of Alberto Del Rio? Because of all the new guys, as far as, like, you know, facials and stuff like that, to me, he seems like he's the one that has the most potential to really become a superstar.
Well, you know, I think Danielson has bloomed. I think Daniel Bryan, I keep wanting to call him Bryan Danielson, has really bloomed. You know, a lot of people thought he had no personality, and I think he's brought that personality to the table. I like John Morrison. I'm really a big John Morrison fan. Sheamus is good. There's several kids there, I think, that you know, that have potential. But again, it's going to take time to develop it. It's going to take time to develop it. I think the bad thing is they don't have the freedom to do that. You know. That's the one thing that the territories afforded you. You know, this is not necessarily about old school or anything. It's just the fact that, you know, when you had the territories, you know, you had the opportunity to move around and work with veterans and with different guys and develop your talents and skills over a period of time. Every time you change territories, and you say the first 5 or 6 years you were in the business, it's like going to a new school. You know, you work with, you know, different style heels, baby faces, whatever. And develop everything. There's a lot of good kids there. You tell me, who stands out to you?
Well, I mean, I love Danielson, so I love him. I like Sheamus. I like Alberto Del Rio. And I'm hoping they'll give Sin Cara, a Mystico, a chance.
You guys who live down there on the border got a little chance.
You just mentioned about them not having, you know, territory systems, and it's a shame that they don't, because, like, you know, a few months ago they brought, I can't even remember the guy's name, but they brought in that giant 7-footer to be Tyson Kidd's bodyguard, and then they realized he wasn't good and sent him back, and then they brought in Mason Ryan, who looks fantastic, but he probably, you know, would be like the guy who was the least ready of everyone down there, and you know, now he's pretty much, I guess they realize he's not ready and sent him down. It's just a shame that they can't get good, because it's like, it's a lot of the guys, you know, they put their hopes up and then they don't work out because they're just not ready, and then they could, you know, it could cost them their whole career, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, that's the thing. What they need to do is set up a wider spread developmental system and make turn those into like minor leagues. Like, you know, in baseball, and let the guys move around within that system, and instead of cutting guys loose that they don't necessarily want to use on the main rosters of SmackDown or Raw, let them go down and work with the younger guys on the shows that that these developmental territories run. You know, and like I say, instead of having one or two, have 4 or 5. You know, if you really stop to look, you probably see they don't invest a lot of their money into that, and that's the breeding place for the product. And, you know, everybody talks about the economy having an effect on you know, ratings and pay-per-view buys, and it does to a certain degree. But also, I think to a certain degree, the fact where these old guys have come back and you know, put some spark into the Mania thing, I think that shows something too. What's missing, and maybe why the you know, the numbers are down.
I think they also have, you know, as far as developmental territory, if they wanted, they've got, like, they could work something out. They've got, like, a couple of good ones out there. Like, if they worked out something maybe with Lance Storm or with Booker T in his school in Houston, you know, that's a couple of good trainers right there.
Well, they had, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I think the other part, you've got to let, it's like with minor league baseball coaches. You know, you're trying to develop a baseball player, but you're trying to also develop the best, most well-rounded. I think instead of giving the developmental guys, and believe me, I've been there, done that with this, instead of giving them parameters, and I, from what I understand, it's more strict now than it was back then. I really don't know firsthand. But when you've got to let those guys, they're with these kids every day, and they understand and let them do their thing. I mean, Ricky Steamboat and Dr. Tom, two of the damn best. You know, I've worked with both of them on training camps, and Tom when I was with the Fed. But you got to let them do what they know how to do best. And you can't, again, it's the micromanage thing. This, you know, a friend of mine made a good comparison. He said, you know, symphony music, classical music is structured and must be, you know, put together note by note. Where on the other hand, jazz is a lot of improv and creative and not necessarily even on paper. And that's what professional wrestling is and should be. And that's, you know, again, it takes time like fine wine to develop, you know, the top guys. Austin wasn't made overnight, or Rock, or, you know, any of these guys, Taker, you know, guys like those guys didn't come overnight. So it's.
It takes more than just seeing that a guy's 6'5 and is ripped and then calling him up.
You put a lot of undue pressure on these guys sometimes. You know, I have fans, people ask me today, well, what was your gimmick or what was your name? You know, I said, just Les Thatcher. And, well, I said, you're just a wrestler. But I knew who Les Thatcher, the wrestler, was because I helped develop him, you know. And that was the thing. Seldom did any, I mean, promoters or bookers would offer you a, you know, an idea for something, but it didn't necessarily, if you didn't accept it, I mean, and this is not necessarily just top guys, but middle of the card guys sometimes too, or even some of the lower card guys would, you know, well, listen, I think I can do a little better with you if you'll do this or be this or wear this, you know, or pretend you're this. And you had the option to say, no, I feel uncomfortable with that. And I don't think that's so much the case today because you're so limited. Where do you go? You know, I mean, you're a young guy and you've busted your hump. To get looked at, and then you finally get a developmental contract. You realize there's this company to make money, and maybe one or two more, and the other options aren't really great. So, you know, you're going to do well, and it's a business, so you're going to do what you're asked to do, not necessarily because it's right, but you know, ours is a business of creativity, and you to allow that, you have to give people some freedom. Did I put you guys to sleep or what?
Yeah, no, I was actually going to a switching room, but I'm back in my computer. Les, I wanted to ask you about, since it is a WrestleMania, we were talking about Lawler earlier, but is this not the most perfectly done angle that they've probably done in, like, maybe the last decade?
Yeah, it's a good angle. You know, I think this past Raw was just, in one word, overkill. Too much of everything. I see Michael Cole is a good character, but he's not refined. He's not a veteran at it. You know, I mean, he's, just because he's been a commentator around a business, he still has to develop what he's trying to do. And I think Monday night, there was too much Michael Cole.
Yeah, there's a lot of too much Michael Cole. I mean,
yeah, it started to wear on me.
Yeah.
Started, you know, and the other, and I think, first of all, Taker didn't need to, beat the hell out of Sheamus a couple weeks ago. I mean, Taker. Helmsley didn't need to beat the hell out of Sheamus a couple weeks ago. He didn't need to beat DiBiase Monday night. He could have. It could have simmered. You know, let that fury and that, you know, passion and intensity, let it build up and make the people buy it at WrestleMania. Don't blow it off. And with Hunter, he doesn't need that anyway because he's over.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be beating guys down to get over. And besides that, if you haven't seen him in a while and you want to see him, then don't give him too much now. Make him pay for it. You know. And the thing with Cole and you know, beating the hell out of Lawler with his trainers and bodyguards and all that crap, that's over. I think that's being overdone too. You know,
I do think that Jack Swagger's getting over a lot better in this role than anything he's had him doing in a long time.
Well, you know, I don't know that where he's going to go with this. And of course,
yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with Cole. You know, I can't believe that he and Jerry Lawler spend the rest of Lawler's career, or Cole's for that matter, with Cole sitting in that plastic box, for Christ's sake. I don't think, anyway. But
I at least got to think that Jim Ross is going to call that match. I mean, it just seems like it's a...
I think that's a great idea anyway. I miss Jim.
I'd have him call that match and call the Taker Triple H match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I really don't want to see the streak broken, and I'm not real sure how much more Taker's got in the tank after this one. I really don't.
I'm confident, but those two guys, I think they're going to pull out a hell of a match, though, because they know what they're doing. So.
Well, they know what they're doing. Yes, they understand. They're both are students of timing and pacing and the psychology. But what I'm afraid, you know, not knowing what Mark's health is, what Taker's health is, you know, you can't say at what level he's going to. I mean, I'm sure he'll push himself, but you know, he still might be limited. It's hard to say. We'll have to see. But again, I think just from experience that they should steal the show.
Now, if JR does call that match and he also calls Lawler match, that means more than likely he also has to call the buffer match in between, which would probably be Snooki. Are you excited to hear Jim Ross call a Snooki match?
No, I don't think so. I doubt that Jim would be terribly excited to call Snooki's match either.
You didn't think she performed a 5-star Loose Death Trust the other night on Raw?
Well, she did. She did. Yes, she did.
I
understand.
I hate
using celebrities in any type of physical role. I see the value in using them, but never, you know, maybe as a manager or something, but, you know, in a wrestling role, it's crap, I think. It's just, yeah, but I understand the value of having her, you know, to pick up maybe some extra buys. And, you know, but I, you know, my sarcastic sense.
There'll be all the websites and, like, the websites and, like, the entertainment shows. I mean, they will get a lot of publicity out of it for.
Oh, sure.
You know, for what
sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brian Christopher said it took, he got on to WrestleMania before his dad ever did, and he said, talked about all the years it took Jerry to finally make it. I said, it took Snooki about 5 minutes.
Now,
she took a couple deep breaths and got booked on WrestleMania.
you mentioned how, I actually just lost my train of thought. Couture, go ahead. Let me see if I can remember.
Talking about entertainers, I'm sure you checked out Jericho and Dancing with the Stars this week.
Yeah. That's a favorite in our household anyway. We've watched every season except the first one. We didn't see the first one. I think Chris was middle of the pack. He needs to relax a little bit, you know, and flow a little bit. He's a little stiff, a little jerky, I guess, but you know, he's got a great personality, and he was middle of the pack. I mean, you know, I forget what the exact score was, but the comments were pretty favorable. I think he'll do okay. I wouldn't say he's the favorite to win it, but I think he'll be in it for 5 or 6 weeks, which will be a lot of good exposure for him. And
yeah.
Well, you know, this week, did you happen to see American Idol results last night?
I saw Hulk Hogan on there.
Yeah, well, okay, but the whole show.
I didn't see the whole show. I just saw the whole thing.
We watched. Well, it was Motown week, and I love Motown anyway. So I watched Wednesday night and last night. But I was going to say, you know, with Jericho on Dancing with the Stars and Hogan on Idol, those are the two biggest shows on network television.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, it was so funny because I saw Hulk Hogan, and he came out, and just for that brief, like, 2 minutes he was out there, he looked like a way bigger star than he's ever looked since he'd been in TNA for the last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought, boy, this would be a great shot for TNA, but they don't get mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, let's not even talk about TNA. Unless you want me to hypnotize you. Can I hypnotize you?
I just remember what I was going to ask. You know, you just mentioned how you don't care for the, you know, celebrities being involved. And, you know, when they were doing the guest hosts, you know, almost everybody, for the most part, hated the majority of the guest hosts. But there was one guest host who was, like, universally loved, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. What did you think of the Bob Barker Raw?
You know what? Bob Barker was pretty sharp. I didn't like him beating on Jared, you know, who was it, Chavo Jr. You know, I didn't like that. Again, I don't see the necessity in that, right? But I thought he was very comfortable and did a decent job. The little girl, the Hell TV show is she on that was on 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
she the one for the chaperone?
Yeah. She was as comfortable as anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really, you know, I thought, wow, she's a professional, man. She went out there and kind of owned it. She did all right for herself. Yeah, Barker was okay, I thought. You know,
what I want to know is if they're putting Drew Carey in, they should reverse that and put Bob Barker in and have Drew Carey induct him instead of the other way around.
Well, you know, there was a lot of uproar about the Carey thing. And from the wrestler's standpoint, no, he doesn't belong. Obviously, he hasn't earned anything to be with the, you know, with the top performers in that company. But you know, I'm not going to make a big, you know, big to do about it because I understand why they did it, to get the, you know, mainstream publicity out of it. It's cheesy, it's cheap heat, but you know, that's such is business. You know, no, he doesn't belong, or does Pete Rose or any damn body else like that. You know, it's just, it should, I think it cheapens it, you know, but, you know, it's about business for them.
Yeah.
Well, they always kind of make it seem like it's there for just like they'll say the celebrity wing. They always put it as like a very less serious thing. It's like, lighthearted. They don't take it serious. And I think the people who are like, you know, wanting to boycott him are really in an uproar, just, you know, just being a little uptight, you know, because it's like they don't make no bones about it being anything other than just what it is, just there for, you know, to get a good time and get a celebrity out there.
Right, right. Yeah, that's you know, again, I've done things with celebrities over the years on TV shows, but just never get them physically involved. You know, Cornette, still, it's a good rule of thumb. When Jimmy was promoting the smaller towns out of Smoky, he would maybe set up a local DJ or something to do ring announcing or something. Or Jimmy would arm wrestle him. But see, the point was Jimmy was a manager. He would never have had the guy arm wrestle one of the boys, you know, because he knew he had to put the DJ over because it's hometown, and that was going to get good publicity for for Smoky and the whole deal. Which it was good business, but Jimmy didn't jeopardize, I guess, the integrity or the imagery, I guess, of the wrestler themselves. Because as a manager and a non-athlete, it didn't matter if he got beat.
I would have preferred seeing Bob Armstrong and Abdul actually get videos on TV promoting their Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Let's face it. Here again, it's about, well, they weren't WWE superstars or WWF superstars, so they're doing it for a regional reason, but they're not going to push it as hard because to them. But don't, you know, it's
yeah.
It's a shame that, I mean, the history of the business is history. There's a lot of great history in Atlanta, for God's sakes, over the years, you know, of guys who have, you know, been a major part of that, of the professional wrestling fabric of that area, of that city. But, you know, it's a secondary thing to them. They're doing it for the regional flavor, and they're not going to push it as hard as they're going to push the other, you know, Sonny or Michaels, or if they put the Road Warriors in or whatever. But, yeah, it's a shame, you know. And the hell of it is, it wouldn't make them look any less if you put these guys over the way they should be put over.
Yeah.
No, I was going to mention on the celebrities. One guy I thought did a good job is a lot of the celebrities, they want to, you know, do something and look like they, you know, did a move on one of the wrestlers. But I really liked David Arquette because I thought he worked that really well, where he pretty much just got his ass kicked. What did you think of that last David Arquette appearance?
I agree. I certainly do. You know, Dave, I had the opportunity to speak with him. He's really a nice guy, really a nice, humble guy. When I say that real quick, I'll tell you the story. I won't bore you with a long, drawn-out thing. But after he won that title on WCW, the money that he made from that, he divided in three parts. One was for the Pillman Memorial Fund. One was for Rick Rude's family, and I forget where the third one went.
Maybe Owen Hart?
Huh?
Maybe Owen Hart?
No, it was, I don't remember. Anyway, but the reason I'm saying this is one of his agents, somebody had contacted somebody who was on my Pillman show committee, and so they asked me, I said, yeah, that'd be great. And I said, that's wonderful he's going to do that. I said, in fact, it'd be great if, you know, if he wanted to show up and make the presentation himself. So anyway, no more was said, and one day my phone rang, and I answered the phone and said, I'd like to speak with Les Thatcher. And I said, you're speaking with him? And, well, he said, hi, I'm David Arquette. And to tell me about, you know, the donation, and I told him how great I thought that was and how generous. And, you know, I told him, I said, if you know, obviously you're a wrestling fan, if you'd like to come to the show and make the presentation, we'd love to have you, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, well, he was doing a movie in Canada, and he didn't think he'd be able to make the time, but he appreciated the offer. But really nice guy. I talked to him for, I don't know, 10 minutes, and just real humble and polite. And so, yeah, I'm a big supporter of David Arquette. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. He did I thought that was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, guys like him, and I think like other people, like maybe Freddie Prinze Jr. I know he's like actually a real fan of professional wrestling. That's, you know, been involved
yeah.
with creative and stuff like
you
that.
Know,
I like
you know,
that.
I think some of the worst ones are the ones that you actually can sit there and say, but God, they've never watched wrestling in their lives. You know, they're just going through. Now I'm, you know, it's a shame that they. It's a shame that whoever books, you know, whoever handles that part of the booking, the celebrities, doesn't pay more attention to that, because it's just, you know, it'd be that much better for the company, you know, if the people came across as genuine.
Yeah, I know. This past week, they were doing like a shoot with some with Lake Hool and Snooki and a bar in like in New Jersey, and I think Snooki showed up tanked, like about 3 hours late.
Yeah, some I'd heard that or something, and I thought, well, okay, whatever. Well, you know, I think in the situation she's in now, guys, she can get away with that because she is a big celebrity on Jersey Shore. But now, you know, if she were working under contract to that company, no, it wouldn't be happening. I mean, it might happen once or twice, but it wouldn't be a regular occurrence because they'd be
yeah.
much tighter on her.
But also, it's nothing new for a wrestler to show up to a show or to work. Tank. I mean, it's been going on for years. Unfortunately.
Well, you know, thank God it's the exception, not the rule. That's.
Well, you talked about just about TNA earlier. How would you, as a promoter, have handled the Jeff Hardy thing?
I would never put him out there. I would not have risked that. I would not have risked Sting's health or Jeff's, for that matter. Or, you know, and there are so many good workers back there, and there are so many things you could have done even on the fly to make a change. Rather, you know, and the way they did it was painful, too, for Bischoff to come out there and make this no-holds-barred thing like it didn't matter anyway in the overall finish of the match. I mean, it was useless. And then for Hardy to stand there and pretend like he's going to throw the T-shirt to all four corners and just a stall. It was, you know, you could have put anybody out there with any particular. What was it? The week before, 2 weeks before on television, they had a number one contenders match, and they could have, you know, run one of those guys out of there. How many times over the last few years have you seen somebody beaten up in a hallway in that building? One of those guys could have waylaid Hardy and say, "Hey, I won the number one contenders match, and I get the shot before you do," and or whatever. You know, I mean, you could have made up 10,000 friggin' things. It just should never have happened.
It just told me when it happened, it's just either people can't think on their feet running the company, or they can think on their feet but just said to hell with the show and just, you know, just kind of threw him out there as he was.
Well, you know, I don't know if they're thinking at all, to tell you the truth. I'd like a pound of whatever the hell they're smoking sometimes when I watch that thing. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think they have a direction. You know, the old saying is even a cattle stampede has a leader, but I'm not sure that TNA does.
Yeah, apparently they're going to bring him back as a baby face here. I mean,
well, whatever. You know, it's become so ridiculous. I mean, it really has, and it's hard to watch. I said there should be encounter groups to say, "Hi, I'm Les Thatcher, and I watch TNA." Hi, Les. There should be a 12-step program to get out of that. And, you know, and when I say this, guys, listen, I wish there were 10 companies out there like WWE or even like TNA where there'd be more guys given work and it would be more competitive and it would just be better for the industry. So it's not – when I say these things, it's not because I'm mad at them or I don't like somebody in the company. It's because it's the truth. It's a horribly run. I mean, it's just stupid. It's hard to watch, and I don't know if there's any salvation. I mean, honestly, it's gone on like this for so long that it's weakened the drawing power of even their top guys to a certain degree, and it's just, I don't know.
It's just become
maybe they turned into a
bad
song and dance show. Maybe that makes more sense than anything else. I don't know.
They just set the standard to where they're just supposed to be bad all the time. Most people think, I believe.
Well, you know, yeah, and it's, you know, I've said before, I get tired of I hear myself talk about it, you know, that way. But you know, it's universal. I mean, I listen to some of the audios on a couple different websites. With, you know, people that review the show. And I'm thinking, it's not just me, and it's not old guys. It's young. You know, it's just not well done. Just not well done. And it's a shame because, you know, it should be a true alternative with the talent that's there. I don't know if there's any turning it around. I mean, not short term, there's not. You can hire Paul Lee. You can hire, I don't care who you hire. It's not going to happen overnight. And he knew that, too, and I think that was part of the thing that, you know, that didn't gel. They want instant gratification. It's not going to happen. They've cried wolf too many times. It hasn't been good for them. I'm looking forward to seeing Tough Enough with Bill DeMont and Booker and Austin. I don't really know Trish. I don't know how passionate she'll be about the training thing. I know how the other three guys will be, so I'm really cool with that. I'm looking forward to seeing how good it's going to be.
Well, okay, let me ask you that, since you say you know how they are. Just from hearing one of the Brian and Meltzer shows, they were talking about how basically the Monts is just there to be a heavy, to make fun of them, pick on them, and then when they would ask him for help, he would say, basically, turn it on your own. Is that just basically just for the show as far as, you know, him being heavy on the show, or, like, what kind of a trainer is Bill DeMont?
Well, Bill was on my roster when he wasn't up on the main roster here when I was head of developmental.
Hello? 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 Uh-oh. Hello?
Oh, shoot. Sorry, people. We lost, I guess Couture got disconnected. I thought it was I got disconnected, but looking at the switchboard, it looks like Couture was disconnected. So we'll see if he calls back in. Or okay, he's back on. Couture, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and call us back and tell him we'll let him finish.
Hey, man, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Happened to me plenty of times. But, yeah, so, anyway, I kind of wish I was in Seattle. I bet they're having a good old time partying with Granny and Rodney and the Horseman and West Destiny and a few other people. I'm sure it's a good time. Thanks a lot, Rodney. Thanks for taking me. A freaking
deal.
Sure. Oh, I guess we're back.
Well, I tell you what, you think I got mad because you were late to call, then you hang up on me. You get bored.
No, I'm sorry.
Just say, shut up, old man.
That was Couture. I had nothing to do with that. That was Craig at first, and that was Couture, so I apologize.
Well, Craig is a whipping boy here, isn't he? He takes all the heat. He takes all the heat. Anyway, Bill DeMont is a good guy. Bill DeMont is a good guy. He was helpful. He helped me here with the kids that actually paid to be in my school, not the developmental guys. But he worked hard with the developmental guys. He was helpful with the guy, even the guys, you know, that were on developmental contracts. I'm sure he did a good job with Joe Hamilton down in Atlanta. Yes, I know. People bellyache that he was tough. And I'm sure he was. So was I. So was Danny Davis. So was Rip Rogers. So was Joe Hamilton. That's your job. That is your job. All of us have passion. Ricky Steamboat, Harley, Tommy Pritchard, any of the guys that I've worked with are worth a damn. You know, get a little crazy once in a while. Tommy has got, you know, maybe some of them's got a longer fuse than others. Cornette being one of the shorter fuses of all of us. But the point is, do you know any Marines that love their drill instructor? One of the first things when I signed on a developmental deal, I was told, well, you know, there's some good benefits about this, but one of the things you're gonna regret is some of these guys bellyache about everything, and they've got the office on speed dial, and they cry because you push them too hard, or you yell at them, or whatever. And you know what? That comment was right. It's true. Bill's a plus as a trainer. I don't know how they're going to use him on there, but you know it's you got to be you're supposed to be tough. You need to push buttons. You need to find out how guys work under pressure. Just you know, you're molding something. You're creating, trying to create something, and you got to find out what's there to create it with.
And it is reality TV, so I mean they could be pushing them to be heavy. More of a heavy than he normally would.
Yeah,
be,
he could, you know. But I didn't see anything really forced, like on that little one, the clip of advertising where he says, go back out the door and come in like you mean it. Yeah, that sounds like Bill. That sounds like me. It sounds like a lot of guys. You know, no, it's, you know, listen, if you're going to lay back and say, hey, give me 100 push-ups and then do 100 hip blocks and then run around the block twice, I don't have a use for that guy either, and you're not going to learn anything from him. And part of what, you know, part of what I think I convey or any of the guys that are worth a damn convey is their passion. You that translates. I think B.J. Whitmer or Nigel or Shark Boy or Chet the Jet or any of the guys that, you know, that have been on my crew, Stryker, they'll tell you, you know, there were days they wanted to shoot me, but they also know that part of my passion became part of their passion, and I think that's important too. And Bill has that passion.
Now, let's before we wrap up here, I wanted to get one last comment from you. I wanted to get your opinion on the Johnny Mantell tournament. There's been a lot of talk and debate about that. We had him on the show not too long ago.
What do you think of the whole concept?
I think it's a heck of an idea. You know, I first heard the concept. Nick Bockwinkel brought it up to Harley and I when we were doing the training camps out in Vegas at CAC, Cauliflower Alley Club convention. And but we just didn't have the time frame. We didn't have enough days to do something like that. And I think it's a hell of an idea. I hope it comes off, you know, big. I really do, because here's the thing. You're going to be judged, critically, but fairly, and you're going to be judged on your artistry, on how well you know your craft, how good of a worker you actually are, you know, overall. And I think that's going to be hard for some guys to take. But you know what? You should always benefit from things like that. You should always profit from those things. There's going to be, if all the judges that are advertised are there, or if they're not, if half of them are there, you've got some of the best workers in the business ever, you know. And, yes, they know what they're talking about. And there's so much to be learned. If everything happens the way I see, you know, I've seen the advertisement and I've talked to John and, you know, it's a hell of a deal. I hope he can make it a yearly, an annual thing. I think it's a great idea.
I think they had like 100 people sign up so far. So, I mean, not so he's wanted, but, I mean, still 100, that's pretty impressive.
That's good. I don't know how – I forget the number he said would be the saturation point, but that's good. I hope it turns out to be something big. I think something like that's needed, you know. But the point is, you know, the guys – You got to come away from that. Is, you know, we talk about the teachers. Hell, the scholars have to come away from something like that, paying more attention to what they were criticized on than the pats on the back, because those are the things they have to improve if they're going to get better. You know, and hell, I'm still trying to get better, guys. What can I tell you?
And now there was on Brian and Dave's website on the message board, there were people after he was on Brian's show saying that it's a scam, it's this, it's that, he's ripping the guys off. The way I look at it, to me it seems like it's like the ultimate workshop. I mean,
great. That's a great analogy. Great analogy. I honestly don't know Johnny Mantell. I worked with his older brother, Kenny. We socialized some. We were in the Nashville territory and the Florida territory together. I can't imagine what kind of scam it would be. I think, you know, if I were a young independent, the opportunity to show my stuff in front of, this particular panel of judges, to get the shot at the, the Hall of Fame trip, maybe some bookings, meeting some other promoters. John had told me he thinks some European promoters will be coming in for this as well. One of the Japanese offices, I believe, is going to be represented. Harley's going to be there, and Harley has a direct pipeline to NOAA. If you're really serious about making it, it's not about win, lose, or draw in this thing. It's about getting exposure and networking, you know. I think that's a big part of it, too.
I think people were thinking it was a scam because you had to pay money, but you're paying this money and you're getting what you pay for. They're telling you what's going to happen with this money you're going to pay.
Well,
it's not a scam.
Yeah, if there's a pool tournament, a nine-ball tournament someplace, you're going to pay to enter it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a horseshoe tournament in Mesquite, Texas, you're going to pay to enter that, too, if you expect to win something.
Exactly.
Everybody's looking for something negative, I suppose. But, yeah, I hope there's a lot of success with it. I hope he's able to make it an annual event. I really do.
Hey, real quick, Liz, do you have any memories of Oliver Humperdinck, who passed away this past week?
You know, Oliver, Hump and I never worked the same territories. We just never bumped heads in the business. But we met at a reunion a number of years ago. And done some of these conventions together and got to be buddies. And the funny thing is we never talked a lot about wrestling. We're both old blues and R&B fans. And we talk, you know, about music and all that sort of thing. So, but, yeah, he's a good guy. I liked him. And from, everybody ever worked with him in terms of being, him managing them or working on the other side of the ring from him, all had good things to say, and I got to know him, you know, pretty well over the last 10 years, I guess. And nice guy, and yeah, he'll be missed. He was good people.
I had him on Facebook, and you mentioned the blues. I remember up until maybe a couple months ago, like every day he would have just all these different songs and videos that he would post on Facebook of all these different blues guys.
Yeah, and I love that. That's what I told him. I said, man, I hate that you stopped putting those things up there. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching those things.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking to myself, like, oh, man, I haven't noticed him doing that. And then that's when, like, the report started coming up that he was really starting to get sick.
Yeah.
Like, that's
you know, it's
story.
Funny on that Facebook what you find. Some young man found a thing of me and Jake Roberts from Smokey. That's on my Facebook page now that he put up. I didn't even remember it. I had never seen it before. And Hump put those great blues videos up there. Yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed that a lot.
One of the things that I don't like about Facebook is when I'm going through Facebook and I see a profile of a 60-plus-year-old man who's ripped to shreds and I'm all fat and ugly and you know, half his feet, you know, it's kind of distressing.
Well, it's even more distressing to that old man when he's not in that kind of shape anymore because he's too old to be in that shape. So, see, there's still hope for you, Eddie. There's still hope for you. For me, there's none. And besides that, you owe me a Mexican dinner in San Antonio. When's that going to happen? I mean, you're going to have to get me booked out there. I just can't hitchhike, you know.
Well, you know, the Shofu Nazis got a school out here, so maybe they'll bring you in for a seminar or something.
Who does?
Shofu Naki.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
That'd be
great. That's right. He lives there. I've seen him when I was out there before. I saw him at the shows. Yeah, great. Yeah, good for him. Well, work it out for me, Coach, okay?
I'll see what I can do, Les. I'll take it to the All best.
Right. You're going to WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Cool. Have a good time. Have a good time.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on and spending so much time with us. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Anytime. You guys enjoy the weekend, and I look forward to doing it with you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Take care. Cool. Man, I didn't get the plugs in on the live feed, so let me get them on here. Everybody check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Couture, go ahead.
Pro Wrestling Flashback, should be back this Thursday night, probably late Thursday night, starting WCW 1998 Part 1. And that's at blogtalkradio.com/Couture. It's the same, if you go to Blog Talk and you're listening to this show, it's going to be on the same page as this one.
Cool. And everybody who's going to WrestleMania weekend, trying to, computer's being a little slow. If you're there on Friday, if you're in Atlanta on Friday between, I'm guessing, 3 and 6, go to, God damn it, computer, why are you taking so long? Go to, the place is called Stats Food Plus Beverages, Food Plus Drinks is what it's called. And I get the damn address, but my damn computer does not want to load on me. But anyway, everybody go to Stats. Just look it up, Stats. And we'll be there before the ROH show. And
how do you spell that? STATS?
Yeah.
Okay, Stats.
Yeah, Stats. Let me hear. It's Okay. And apparently Whitney's trip to the aquarium has been moved to Saturday.
Well, that's a bummer.
I know. Friday, that's a bunch of crap, man. I talked to Miss Lady Alvarez here. Okay, Stats, STATS, is at 300 Manetta Street, Northwest, number 101, Atlanta, Georgia. So if you're in Atlanta on Friday, go to Stats. And we'll check everybody out then. I'm not sure what we're doing as far as the show. Maybe we'll do something.
Is Whitney one of those women that goes and drinks at the shows and yells at all the guys?
Never actually been to a wrestling show, but I would assume that's probably what she
I thought
like.
Brian said that when they went to the TNA show, that she was one of those people.
I think she did that at, like, the PWG show.
Is she going to the ROA shows?
I don't think so. Well, I'm not sure because Brian's actually not sitting with us, so I don't know if he might have got two tickets comped or just the one for himself. So
hey, y'all act up and see if you can get on that True TV show where they throw you out of the fucking arena.
It's too bad we're not going to Dragon's Gate because I'd be more than happy to fucking start a scene and get thrown out of it. Fucking.
Yeah, but they won't put you over in the commentary on Dragon's Gate.
Yeah, I know. But I'd get to kick the shit out of Gabe. But what the hell else are they going to say about WrestleMania weekend? Anyway, so hopefully sometime we'll get to go to Abdullah's either Saturday or Sunday.
So are you going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. So.
Okay.
And I'm also taking a voice recorder. Barb lent me her voice recorder, so I'm taking that, and I'm going to try and shoot to see if I can get a few couple-minute interviews with as many people as possible. You know,
oh,
I'm sure I'll be able to get, you know, like, you know, Brian and Fritz and Lagana and a few other people. Hopefully I'll be able to get some of the wrestlers.
Maybe we can meet Cornette and tell him to give you that interview he promised last year.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And so it should be a good time. Like I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but there won't be shit coming out of it. So we'll get those details out later on the board and shit. And this is what we'll talk to everybody then.